be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, we're now in the second week of a six-week course when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in St. Matthew's Gospel teaches us how to live as Christians. Last week, as you remember, Jesus described the real path to happiness, which is the path of the Beatitudes. The world says in order to be happy, you've got to be rich. Jesus says you've got to be poor in spirit and find your treasure in God. The world says you've got to be strong, finish fights that other people start. Jesus says you have to be meek, have a strength that you don't have to fight back. Like a black belt in karate, when a little kid hits him, he doesn't have to beat the kid into a pulp. You have to be a peacemaker. The world says in order to be happy, you have to have all your sexual fantasies fulfilled, be a sex symbol. Jesus says you need to be pure in heart. The world says you're happy if you're laughing all the time. Jesus says you'll be happy if you're so sensitive to others that you'll mourn, that you'll weep over their misfortune. The world says you'll be happy when everybody likes you, when you're voted most popular in your high school class, or elected Miss Congeniality. Jesus says, blessed are you rather when people hate your guts because of me, because they did the same thing to the prophets before you. And we've got to face a choice of whether we're going to follow Jesus or follow the way of the world. Jesus is going to continue these lessons. It's really a seven-week course. This year we're grateful that Ash Wednesday starts pretty late so that we've got six out of the 7 weeks. But the last week that's cut off is where Jesus forces that choice. And he says, we've either got to build our life on the rock or on quicksand. And we build on the rock when we stake our whole existence on his word. So today Jesus is going to give us a choice again. But the choice to live like him or to live like everybody else. The choice toward happiness, holiness, and heaven. Or the choice to just waste our life. And he wants to give us his help to choose. Today he uses two very powerful images. As powerful today as they were 2,000 years ago. In order for us to see ourselves in a mirror, and then see how we're corresponding to that image. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, you're called to be the salt of the earth, or I want you to be the light of the world. He says it as a fact. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Because on the day of our baptism, that's what we became. In the old rite of baptism, children were always given salt in their mouth. Still a little awkward thing. Every once in a while a priest has to do baptism in the old rite. I do them on occasion because I speak Latin very well. I have a Latin mass later on today. And it's tough to get it right in there because the kids are a little bit older and they're starting to teeth and everything else like that. But you get the salt in there to remind them that they are called to be salt. And then at the end of the baptismal rite, which was still retained, and it's a very beautiful part, the Godfather goes to the Easter candle and lights the baptismal candle of the newly baptized, and then goes and stands next to that child or even the adult. And the child is instructed, receive the light of Christ. This light is to be kept burning brightly so that when Christ comes, you may go out to meet him with all the saints in glory, so that you might become one of those wise bridesmaids in Jesus' parable who are always waiting for Christ to come back, vigilant. Jesus says we already are these two things. The question is whether we're corresponding to his help in order to live as he has made us to be. Let's take these two images. Jesus, and I'll start with the second one, because the first one's a little bit more complicated today. You are the light of the world. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. But what he has done for us is he has given us his own light. And he wants to use us to help illumine the world that so often walks in darkness. The actual word that he uses here, you don't light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. Sometimes when we think of lamps, we think of those standing lamps with electric bulbs that just stay in the corner. And occasionally you put your coat on it or your other pieces of clothing or whatever else, as if it's a coat rack. The word that Jesus uses here is for a moving lamp, one of these types of portable lamps that you wouldn't illumine all your rooms in your house at this time. You'd just take a lamp, and when you were in one room, you'd use it, and then when you go to the other room, you'd take the lamp with you. It was a traveling lamp. God wants to make us like those traveling lamps. He wants us to illumine where we are right now, and then he wants to take us and bring him and his light to another place, especially where there's great sadness. Maybe someone's just lost a loved one. Maybe someone's depressed. Maybe someone's just lost a job. Maybe someone's struggling with a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Wherever there's darkness, God wants to take us to bring his light. And there's a particular form of light. He just says, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That our light, there's a purpose to it. It's not to shine the attention on ourselves. It's to help everybody think of God. That if people are going to see God's glory in the world, they're going to see it through us. We need to ask ourselves, do I bring light to the people's lives around me? Do I help brighten up the situation? Do I bring the light of God's truth to situations where people are in the darkness of ignorance? Do I bring the light of God's love and the warmth of it to situations where people are cold? Today in the first reading, we see what light does. In this book of the prophet Isaiah, tells us these deeds that when we do them, we'll shed light of God's glory. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them. Don't turn your back on your own family members. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. When we really start to love others concretely in the way that God tells us to do through the prophet Isaiah, God's light is shining brightly. I know I can speak for all of my friends over on the right of how much light the sisters radiate in the midst of the world by doing precisely these things. And then it speaks about God's glory. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Glory won't just be in front of you. Glory will be behind you. Glory will be all around you. This will happen when we remove from our midst oppression, lying, malicious speech. When we bestow our bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted. Not just the bread we don't need, but share with those who are wanting. Then light shall rise in you in the darkness. And gloom will even become like noon. That's what Jesus is asking of us. That's what he's called us to be. That's what he's going to give us all the grace he knows we need to be for real. If only we permit him to do what he wants to do in us. The other image is salt. Now today, we have Saul basically for one purpose in the United States of America. To make bland food taste better. To lend flavor to things. And there's a sense of this which is absolutely true, and Jesus was meaning it in this sense as well, that he's meant to sprinkle a little of us on even the most insipid situations, and we're supposed to bring it alive. We're supposed to add the flavor of God to every circumstance, to make it taste differently, to make it taste better. If an experience is bitter, for example, suffering, a little bit of us is able to bring some Christian joy and meaning to that very troubling human experience. We're called to bring taste so that we can taste and see the goodness of the Lord in all circumstances. The Lord is sprinkling us as salt on every plate of human life. But there are two other purposes to salt in the ancient world. And it's key for us to grasp also these if we're going to live up to our vocation as the salt of the earth. The first and the most important purpose of salt was not to lend flavor. It was to preserve from corruption. They didn't have refrigerators in the ancient world. And so if you were going to prevent, for example, fish from going bad, you needed to cake the whole thing in salt, which would prevent its corruption. Still in African countries where there aren't refrigerators because of the lack of electricity, a lot of the times the meat is salted precisely to prevent it from going bad. For us to live up to our mission as salt of the earth, Jesus wants to sprinkle us in situations to prevent people from going bad. How important this is. You know, when we're in a situation where people are using foul language, we can lift that conversation up. When people are gossiping and stabbing people we know behind the back, we can just ask a question. Do you think the person was really having a bad day and was acting a little out of character? Or let's pray for the person. When somebody's behaving in a way that's wrong, stealing a little bit, saying nobody really cares, we can say, no, there's a better way. One of the most important functions of Christians is to prevent society from going bad. One of the reasons why there are problems, let's just take the United States. There are some serious problems here. Every 23 seconds alone in our culture, another baby made in God's image and likeness, growing in a mother's womb, dies through abortion. Why is that permitted? Why is that even celebrated by certain people in our culture? It's because many of us Catholics have lost our saltiness. If we Catholics as a whole, if we Christians as a whole, lived our faith, lived it with salt, there's no chance that this would have ever passed anywhere. Or that it would be tolerated for 20 seconds, not to mention 23, when another children's life is robbed. We could look to others. The terrible scourge of pornography that objectifies so many women and leads them into some type of slavery. Why does that happen? Because we Christians have lost our salt. Why do we allow the poor to suffer as much as we do? Because so often we've lost our salt and we've permitted selfishness and we've permitted greed, people hoarding. We could multiply the examples. But God wants to sprinkle us in heavy portion on our culture, so that we can prevent it from going insipid, prevent it from going bad. And the third purpose of salt, I'm sorry I'm going to gross you out maybe, but I'm preaching the truth. The third purpose of salt in the ancient world was to mix it with animal dung and light it on fire, to serve as the ancient bricks to cook in the ancient world, in the world. Dung alone, animal excrement, wasn't enough to catch on fire. But if you sprinkled it with salt and lit it on fire, not only would the salt help the dung catch on fire, but that would burn intensely for a long time and heat houses, though the smells wouldn't be great. heat houses and also allow you to cook food. Salt was kind of like starter wood in a fireplace, or like the chemicals that sometimes we can put on charcoal, the lighter fluid, to light the barbecue. And Jesus is saying about us that we're called to be salt in this way too. We're supposed to be his starter wood to light the whole world on fire. We're supposed to be able to catch the flame really fast of the Holy Spirit and start burning so hot that others, in feeling that heat within us, themselves eventually get cooked. Right? Are we quick with that? Are we prompt in what God the Holy Spirit wants to do in us? Can we take even all the, crap of the world and bring good out of it? Recycle its purpose so that what was just literal waste now becomes something that God can use for his kingdom. This is what it means to be the salt of the earth. That yes, we add flavor, but we also prevent from going into corruption, and that we're the ones the Lord uses to light the world ablaze. I want to focus on one area of this, both light and salt today, which is important. St. Paul in today's second reading says that he was preaching nothing, that he was knowing nothing except Christ and Christ crucified. That everything he preached, both by his lips and by his life, was meant to announce Christ. And not just the comfortable Christ. Christ the cuddly teddy bear or wrapped in swaddling clothes. But Christ on the cross, which he had said a little bit earlier, is the power and the wisdom of God. So if we're going to give light to the world, there is a particular form of light that we're supposed to give. The illumination to human experiences that comes from Jesus on the cross. Because when we look at the cross, a lot of the times we see blood. We see tremendous pain. And that was present. God was willing to suffer that for us. But what we really should see when we look at the cross is we should really see the love that made that much pain bearable. That's unbelievable light. It's like the light of the sun that'll never be extinguished. St. Paul had this type of light, and he brought the light of Christ's love on the cross to the world. I had said earlier that he said it was the power and the glory of God, because the Jews, the power and the wisdom of God, because the Jews thought that power in the Messiah who would eventually come would be shown kind of as a professional wrestler who would be able to take the Roman soldiers and bang their heads together and suplex others and DDT others and all the rest of the stuff to show who's boss. No. What it really shows is the power of triumphant meek love. That's a light that the world needs, consonant with the Beatitudes. Likewise, it's the wisdom of God. The Greeks thought wisdom was how to live well, how to die well. And this, to a Greek, was the wrong way to die. Executed as a criminal, hated by all, outside the city gates, naked. But what we see here is the wisdom really of how to live our life as a gift for others, willingness to lay down our life to save others' lives. And that this is the way that we live not just well here, not just die well, but live forever, so that death is nothing but a change of address to a place far more beautiful than any Trump Tower. St. Paul preached this as light. He also preached it as salt. Salt. Because this is meant to add a little flavor to every experience. That the joys and the sorrows are all influenced by Christ's love on the cross. It's supposed to. prevent corruption, so that when we're in the middle of ordinary life, we're able to say, how does my life conform to the mystery of the Lord's cross? Because if we're trying to harmonize our life with what Jesus teaches us here, our salt won't lose its saltiness. And then likewise, this is meant to be a fire starter. My favorite hymn in the English language of all, we sing in Lent. I know the sisters would know it by heart, but maybe everyone else doesn't know the lyrics. But it's called, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. In the fourth verse of it says, were the whole realm of nature mine, would be an offering far too small. Even if I could get everything in the world back, it would be too tiny. Were the whole realm of nature mine, would be an offering far too small, because love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. When we begin to experience a little bit of this love, it inspires us to love like that. And if we could only help one other person after us to learn to love like that, our life would have been extraordinarily valuable. If we can find 2 or 5 or 10 or more, how proud the Lord would be of us. The responsorial psalm today was, the just man is a light in the darkness for the upright. We could add, the just man is salt in the midst of every environment. Today, as we come forward to unite ourselves to the same Jesus who died for us out of love on the cross, the same Jesus who preached these words, the same Jesus who has so much confidence in us in giving us this extraordinary mission to be his salt and his light, let us ask him to help us to live up to this vocation so that our whole life might give glory to the Father, and we might come to experience his love with so many others forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen.